been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Hope we're keeping you warm because it is freezing outside. Of course, thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, happy bye week, my friend. How's it going?
It's been lonely, dude. It has been a lonely Sunday. Like, yeah, there was football on. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't the same. And it just aches my heart, the fact that we're now going to have two Sundays in a row without Ravens football. We got to wait until next Monday to see the Ravens play. But
that's right, man.
How are you feeling? How did you cope with a Ravenless Sunday?
Well, I mean, apart from not being able to get up and get my gear on and get ready and fresh for the game, it was actually relaxing, to tell you the truth. I mean, and I'll get to do that this Sunday. You know, I went over a friend's house and, you know, fired up my laptop and the tablet and my phone, and I kind of just relaxed and watched all the games. It was great football Sunday, a lot of great games, and watched my fantasy teams because, you know, speaking of fantasy, I'm headed in towards the last couple games of regular season going for playoff positioning. So it was great to see, you know, my teams perform well, and we've seen some outrageous performances over the weekend, and we see some things shaking up, man. We get two Sundays in a row to watch not only the whole NFL, but the whole division shake it up. And, you know, some things happened. A lot of first-place teams lost, including the Cleveland Browns, which by far is huge. And then how about the Cincinnati Bengals taking it to our opponent, and the Saints lost two in a row at home. And the Bengals won 27-10 against our next opponent, the Saints. So, and then the Steelers, obviously, they came back and won it from a big game from Bell. The guy's a monster. Hate to say it, but again, Steelers are right there with two out of three teams winning the AFC North this weekend. Brandon, this division is tight. The Ravens are basically right there. I mean, Cincinnati sitting on top at 6-3-1 with the winning percentage of .650. Pittsburgh 7-4 with .636 winning percentage. The Ravens and Browns are tied at .600 winning percentage at 6-4. I mean, if you look at the AFC North, by far this isn't over. We just got to take care of business, man. I mean, the Steelers are vulnerable. They have no defense. The Bengals, they're week to week. I mean, we're the same way, but as long as the Ravens are concerned, we get our wits about us. I think this division can be taken. And even in the whole AFC as a whole, Brandon, the Broncos lost. How about the Rams taking it to the Broncos, holding Peyton Manning to one touchdown, two interceptions, and the Patriots just rolling right now. The Patriots are sitting at 8-2, Brandon. The Broncos at 7-3. The Ravens, record-wise, are two games out of the top record in the AFC. Two games. They're 6-4 versus 8-2. It's not hard. It's doable. I mean, but there's a lot of things going on right now in the league, hitting towards mid-November and December for the playoff push. By far, this, Brandon, we're not out of it by any stretch. We got to fight.
No, not at all. And, you know, it could come down, honestly, it could come down to the very last week, to the very last game when the Ravens go up against the Browns. So we definitely have a lot of football still in store. I mean, the season's far from over. There might not be that many games left, but these games mean a lot, and people are going to be playing their hardest to do that. Looking towards the future, I got to say, I kind of like the fact, the lineup that we have, just for sheer weather-wise. I mean, think about it. The Ravens are up against the Saints in New Orleans, you know, so it's a closed-in area. They also have the Dolphins in Florida. So, I mean, and they have the
and
Chargers.
Houston indoors.
Yeah, Houston indoors. Houston's indoors. They have the Chargers on the West Coast.
At home.
Usually,
no, home.
Oh, it is Chargers at home. It is at home. Here. Sorry. So, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it is in Baltimore. So, really,
it's still on your bye week.
Right. So really, I mean, weather-wise, they don't have a lot to contend with. You know, I've always said this about Peyton Manning, is the fact that if it's cold out, Peyton's not playing well. Peyton, you can count him out for games where he's out in cold weather. So even though the Ravens have done really well, like they did well in Denver, you know, for that Mile High Miracle game, They can play in any kind of weather. We saw them what they did against Minnesota last year in person in the snow. But they also can play really well in the heat. So this team is going to do well. And I like the fact that the weather isn't going to be a factor, because they can plan better for what to expect for those teams in the next coming weeks. But we'll get to that in the next coming weeks, because we'll still be doing shows no matter what. Let's look back, though. Let's look back at the this past season so far. Now, with the bye week, it came a little bit later than the Ravens are used to, and they've kind of been back and forth. We saw them open up against the Bengals, looking absolutely terrible, and then they came back and they were able to beat the Steelers. They've beaten the Buccaneers. They've beaten the Falcons pretty well. I mean, and then look at Tennessee, that the very last game. Maybe I should phrase it this way to you. Let me ask you this question. The teams that they've beaten haven't been the greatest teams. They haven't really beaten a team yet that I guess you could say is a big contender to go all the way. Do you think that's a factor, that these teams that they are beating are just lesser teams, or are you feeling like there's off weeks? Have the Ravens proven so far this year that they can go to the playoffs and that they can make it all the way?
It's hit or miss, Brandon, and it's a big loaded question there, because you're right. Some of the opponents are, if you look at, we've covered this many times before, but if you look at the opponents, yes, they stomped the Panthers, they stomped the Buccaneers, but again, these same Buccaneers beat the said Pittsburgh Steelers. Tennessee Titans lost to us, but then they barely lost to the Steelers. They could have beat them. Steelers had to come from behind. They had them in check the whole game. Again, the Buccaneers beat. It goes on and on. You don't understand it, Brandon. I mean, the Bucs beat the Steelers. We beat the Bucs. We beat the Panthers. Panthers beat the Bengals. And then the Browns lost to Jaguars, which we play in a few weeks. I mean, it can get sort of confusing, and excuse you for being tongue-tied, but it's just, you have to think of these matchups. And just when you pull them out of thin air and you look at the matchups on paper, you're like, okay, well, this team might kill this team or this team, but it's week to week. Brandon, the NFL is week to week, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, the Ravens, it's kind of a, they take care of business. They beat the Bengals who they need to beat. If you look at a couple of their losses, if they'd have gotten their act together in Indianapolis, who'd have said they could have won that game? I think they could have. I was at the game live watching. I mean, everybody else was watching it. Obviously, Ravens Nation had their eyes on that game. But just seeing there and being like, look, if they got out of their own way, Indianapolis played is worse. They just were 7 points better than us. We had a turnover in that game. We were on the, 5-yard line, 6-yard line. We you know, fourth and goal, and we couldn't punch it in. Same thing with the Bengals game. We were right there, and they elected to go over the field goal, and then they went down the field. We lost to the Bengals by 5 points the first one, and then they just clipped us the last game by three. Again, a lot of our losses, other than the 20-point loss against Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football a few weeks back, every loss was within 7 points or less. Mm-hmm. That's what gives you hope. If you look at, okay, if they had put the game plan what they did against, let's say Tampa Bay, when Flacco threw flat touchdowns in 16 minutes, and they did that against Cincinnati, then we're one win better. Or we could be two wins better if they ran the ball more versus throwing it 50 times. You see what I'm saying? There's a pattern. If they'd have stuck to the game plan, is that where they won? And if you look at the statistics where, okay, the run versus pass ratio, the balancing, the turnovers, and that's a lot of it too. I mean, every game is its own story. And when, you know, flacking the offense has the off game and the line's not blocking, I mean, it all starts there. I mean, there's some games where the line looks like a Pro Bowl line, like they're blocking for Tom Brady, like they did against Tampa Bay. And as you know, Flacco's running for his life against, like he was the Titans game, and we had to really shut them down in the second, third, and fourth quarters and really clamp down in the second half on defense, which was great. Going into the second half, speaking of defense, I couldn't be more pleased right now with what they're going. The secondary, again, you know, it was shaky in the first half with Danny Gore and Levine. I'm really, very surprised to see these guys, you know, performing well right now, and I really can't wait to see what they bring to the table in the second half. I know our secondary is our biggest problem right now. Pass rush, not a problem. You know, we still got Denverville at 10.5 sacks. Suggs is still leading the way. Mosley How about Mosley making a case for Rookie of the Year and leading in Pro Bowl voting, believe it or not, for middle linebacker? I mean, this guy's, you know, leading in Pro Bowl voting first year. I mean, what more can be said? C.J. Mosley could be, you know, the next stalwart on defense, believe it or not. And I believe he's the truth as far as I'm concerned. I just – and then, again, with the Jimmy Smith injury and with the Dennis Pitt injury on both offense and defense, respectively, it's unfortunate. USA could have, would have, should have. If Flacco would have had him, if Flacco would have done this, or if he'd have had this guy, or, you know, you can't really say that, man. It's next man up in the NFL. We know a lot of, you know, teams are hurting, missing key players, and a lot of people are hurting or they're missing. But you can't look at that. But I think so far, 6-4 record, it could be better, but hey, we could be 1-8. We could be 0-10, just like the Raiders are, and they haven't won a game in a whole calendar year since last November. I mean, come on, guys. As bad as it gets, we're 6-4, still above 500 in the middle of a playoff hunt yet again, and we're fine. We just need to take care of business, and boy, do I can't wait to get back to it. The scene is back down in New Orleans on Monday night. We get the spotlight again for the last time this year, unless it's a playoff game. But I'm very excited. You know, breaking down the matchups right now, you know, before we get into that, like I said, I'm just overall excited, man. You know, seeing what the Ravens are going, Brandon, I'm just overall excited to see what they can bring in the second half, given the fact that where we came from.
Yeah, I want to say for the first part of this season, I want to say that the best offensive player that we've had has to be Justin Forsett. I mean,
by far.
What a surprise this guy came out of nowhere, coming out of the whole Ray Rice situation, the whole scandal there. Really didn't know what we were going to do. I remember it might have been week one or week two, Justin Forsett, they had a graphic of him up on TV, kind of giving his stats, and you could tell someone just photoshopped a bright purple blob onto him because he didn't even have Raven colors on. He didn't have the picture to take in a Ravens jersey that they're going to put up with his stats. So, like, they were not prepared for that at all. The Ravens weren't prepared to use him, but what a great, great pickup of him. He's performed immensely well. I mean, what a great, great combination of him and Joe. They work very well together. On the defensive end, it's got to be C.J. Mosley. As much as I would like to say it is Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, Mosley, I mean, what another great draft pick by Ozzie. Incredible work ethic. I mean, this guy, we lost Ray Lewis, you know, he retired and he kind of went away for a while and now he's doing commentary. But C.J. Mosley, I mean, he just reminds me of Ray Lewis. It is just insane. Like, he you could tell when Ray was out there, he knew what was going to happen on certain plays. Like, he could call it. He studied the film. He knew what was going on. I see the same stuff in Mosley. Mosley, you see him out there. He's working, and he's working hard, and he's there to make it harder on the offensive line up against the opponent. So, absolutely, these two guys, great at it. You brought up did you want to say something?
Yeah, Brandon, I wanted to interject too. So what you're saying is basically, would you say that, you know, it kind of is an obvious question, but for the record, would you say that Justin Forsett for the offense and C.J. Mosley for the defense, MVP is on both sides of the ball there?
Absolutely.
Unsung Ravens, maybe? Unsung heroes for the Ravens?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think they're unsung. I think everybody knows this. You know what? And for
Justin, I would say unsung because of the situation.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
With Ray Rice going in the beginning of the season and with him getting in trouble, we didn't know, okay, 2-game suspension, he'll be back. And then with the events there, and then with Bernard Pierce expected to take the backer role, Justin Forsett was third on this depth chart. Now, he came out of nowhere and took the starting job over due to, you know, some unforeseen circumstances. It reminds me of the Flacco situation. Remember how Flacco was thrust into the, you know, starting role in 2008 when Troy Smith and Kyle Bowler were there? Troy Smith ended up getting, tonsillitis, and then Bowler went down with an injury. And it was, okay, Joe Flacco, and then here we go. So it kind of was just like by default, and that's why I would say Justin Forsett more unsung, because obviously you're right. Now, we drafted C.J. Mosley 17th. We knew what he can do, and look what he's doing. But I would say Justin just came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. He definitely came out of nowhere, and he's really doing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he won, like, Offensive Player of the Week last week or the week before, and very well-deserved. And I'm kind of surprised that I'm saying Justin Forsett, because during the offseason, we had the pickup of Steve Smith, a great addition to this team. Before we jump into him, there is something I want to bring up with him first. But before we do that, I do want to say something. You said – the secondary was the biggest problem for this team so far at the beginning of this season. I agree with you that they are definitely a problem, but personally for me, I think the biggest problem on this team is the offensive line. The secondary is definitely a problem. You saw what Ben Roethlisberger did to that. I mean, he picked them apart. With Danny Goyer coming back and some of the pickups there, letting go Dominic Franks and Shockey Brown, I think that definitely will help improve the secondary later on in this season. They're definitely a problem. But the offensive line is a huge problem because they can't keep Joe Flacco on his feet. Joe Flacco, this is like beating a dead horse at this point. Joe Flacco's a good quarterback. He gets the job done. But you need to give the man at least like 3 seconds to make a pass or make a play. The receiver's got to get open so he can throw the ball. Other people got to work in order for Joe to work out as well. But if the offensive line is not blocking for him in any way and he's on the ground, then he's useless. There is no point of having him in the game. Like, just punt every single time because it doesn't make any sense. The offensive line, I think, for the rest of the season, they need to improve. They need to work together and make sure who's blocking whom. And I think that the offensive coordinator needs to work closer with this offensive line to make sure they know what their job is to do, because obviously there is some miscommunication somewhere in there because Joe is on his back more than he is on his feet in most games.
I agree. Yeah, and I could really agree with you there too, Brandon. You're right, because if given time, like I was telling you, given the time he did it in Tampa Bay, he was throwing the ball over the place. He did it at home against the Panthers. It was just incredible to see. And we know what that's capable of, but you're right. I've said this time and time again, and I'm sure you can agree with me. Like, we're all in agreement here. I'm sure our listeners would agree too. The game is won in the trenches, won and lost, respectively. You know, if you're not getting to the other quarterback, he's going to dissect the secondary, and then they look bad. And then you're going to blame the secondary. Well, starts a pass rush. If we can get pressure, I've seen a lot of these games. The Rams did it. They were pressuring Peyton Manning all day. He pressured him into two picks. The one was very pressured. The Ravens did that in the divisional game against Peyton Manning. He was pressured. He went on the run, threw across his body, and Corey Grant picked it off to set up the game-winning field goal. You know, pressure. Not every play. You can't blitz every play. These guys aren't machines. But well-timed blitz, it's well-timed pressure. And if they're applied timely and in that specific moment and in the right game scheme, it could work really well for that game plan going towards pressuring the quarterback versus, you know, stopping him on third down. How many times on third down and long, we can't pressure the quarterback. We sit there and let him pick us apart. And the Panthers did. It was like 3rd and 16 and, you know, Cam Newton started down the field, first down. It's like, really? You got to be kidding me. The rookie Zach Mettenberger did that with the Titans. Third down, couldn't get off the field. That's the Achilles heel. And again, you're right. If Joe Flacco is running for his life, can't, you know, throw right to the receivers, he's going to throw off. He's going to make that mistake and throw a pick. And he's going to have to make plays in force because he feels it necessary, whether he should or shouldn't. And there you go. And then it leads to a turnover, which leads to points to the team. It's all a trickle effect. But you're right, it does start in the trenches, and you're, other than secondary, if, like, again, the trenches, not working on the game pressure, going back to the secondary. Joe Flacco's play evolves on that line, so you're right,
I feel as if the secondary for the rest of the season has the chance of getting better. They're at least addressing some of the issues by letting go certain guys, bringing Will Hill in after his suspension, playing him, bringing back Danny Goyer, who already has an interception. I feel like they are addressing those problems. But the offensive line, I feel as if they don't know what to do.
Sometimes they do look lost, and they're getting overpowered. I've seen it time and time again. Some of them are doing good. I mean, Washington is still holding his own, but some of them, like Coach Smelly, I saw one of these games. I can't remember what opponent it was, but he just got overpowered. Like, it was just every play, the guy was just pushing him into the backfield. He was back where Flacco was at a 3-5-step drop before Flacco could even read his progression. So, again, you know, not that we need to get bigger and more physical on the line, but it needs to happen. It needs to happen now because the time is now to win, and win they must come Monday night. Because it's boding well for us. The Bengals gave us the blueprint. I'm not really scared of the Saints. The Saints have 3 home games, and they've lost 2 in a row, and we're the 3rd one. They lost to the Niners in overtime. They lost to the Bengals shot from 27-10. Now they get us. And speaking of injuries, they're down a man. I don't know if anybody saw this today. They're one of their star receivers, Brandon Cooks, is out for the year. So, again, they're down one of their weapons. Yes, we got to contend with Jimmy Graham, which tight ends gives us a nightmare down the middle of the field. Drew Brees, we've had his number the last 2 times we played him. We beat him. We went down there in 2006 last time we were in New Orleans with a Steve McNair led team, and we beat them. And we beat them in here in 2010. I'm at home, and Suggs had a great game, and when they were all black, and it was a 30-24 win. You know, Corey Redding got the tip pick, the sealed win, and I remember that game very vividly. It was a great game. So here we go again, the scene of the crime, Super Bowl 47, down in New Orleans. Will the lights go off? I hope not this time, but I hope the same outcome is a win. And I know the most important, another most important win in Ravens franchise history was a win in Super Bowl 47. But again, you said this in teasing the last show. We went there in preseason. Again, it was a win to leave us at 4-0 in the preseason. It was all the third stringers. It didn't really mean much. But we were, it's a familiar place we needed to play. Yet it's another dome. We have to deal with the noise. But a lot of people are like, this is the same thing that we do not want to face. They've lost 2 in a row at home. That division's anemic. I mean, the 4-6 Falcons are in first place in our division, which you think is that bad in our division? The NFC South is just god awful. I mean, if you're in 4-16, as bad as the Falcons when we beat them and they're in first, that's saying something. And the Saints have something to play for, believe it or not, because they're, even though they're bad, they're right there. So they got to get back on track now. So it's almost like, it's bad for the Ravens, but I feel good because they were in a bye week. They know what's at stake, and with the AFC North that much closer, I really think it's going to bode well for the Ravens being the spotlight. Not having nothing that Ray Lewis has to do anything, but, you know, oh, Sugar Ray, man, he's back on the sidelines with ESPN covering this game. It's going to be fun. Him to mingle with his old teammates again, I think that's going to, you know, seeing Ray maybe provide inspiration, you know, with these guys and coming off a bye week and say, hey, we're back in New Orleans, back to the scene of crime, Ray Lewis hosting the trophy. For the second time in his career, riding off the sunset. I mean, it's almost like, and not to get caught up in all that nostalgia, but it almost bodes well for the Ravens. You figured, okay, well, the Saints, the momentum again, they're running low. The Ravens come off a bye week. They're 6-4, looking good right now, sitting pretty within the division, you know, right there to think of things. And again, who knows? They could come out all cylinders fire, and it could be a 20-0 lead, or it could be we could be in the hole 10, 15, 20-0, and okay, here we go. We got to get back on track. So this game can go either way, man.
So looking towards the Saints, you're bringing up you know, Drew Brees, and we were just talking about the secondary. Do you feel as if the secondary has improved enough to go up against somebody like Drew Brees, or do you feel as if that he's still gonna be throwing, you know, throwing balls all over the place, and the Ravens are gonna have trouble covering him?
I think it's the latter. I think they're going to really have trouble covering the receivers because it remains to be seen. I mean, we've really gotten one good game out of this team, and it was the Tennessee Titans offense. Yes, Zach Mannenberger went down the field and scored, but you have to give the defense credit. They shut the Titans down to 45 total yards in the second half. Brandon, 45 yards. And that's almost unheard of in the NFL. And then you see what the Titans did on Monday night. Against the Steelers, they put up 24 points, and they were marching up down the field, and they even had a 80-yard touchdown. I mean, yes, the NFL is week to week. But until the Ravens show me something, I'm going to give the edge to the Saints in the offensive department because Jimmy Graham, Mark Ingram, Drew Brees, all-pro quarterbacks, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks just like Flacco. These guys are athletes, and they got a big receiver, Marcus Colston. Big receivers give us fits, and Colston's going to get a lot more looks his way because Brandon Cox went down. So means Kenny Stills got to step up. They do have weapons, yet this isn't the Saints team of old where they would just go marching up and down the field at will, and it was like, oh, my God, here we go again. We've faced those teams before and beat them. This team's actually weaker, and Jimmy Grant's having an off year. So with that being said, I still love our chances. I love our chances a lot versus old Saints teams, or, you know, even last year when Jimmy Graham was having a Monster, Aaron, Drew Brees just connecting with them left and right, and they even made the playoffs. But it's just, again, you know, perfect storm could be for the Ravens. Going into the matchups, the secondary has a hold up in the pass rush. We get the Brees, like I said, disrupt the patterns, secondary can hold up. I can see us getting a pick or two, not a problem. But if we're not getting a Breeze, he has all day to throw. If it's man-to-man coverage, I'm going to really be shaking my head again, just like everybody else, because with Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston, how big them guys are, I don't know if no one knows how big these guys are. I mean, they're comparable to Calvin Johnson type. These guys are big, athletic and massive guys are just going up and getting the ball. Oh, Drew Brees has to go up there and just, you know, I mean, you see Jimmy Graham. He can dunk the ball over the goalpost almost effortlessly. I mean, he was a former NBA player, I should say, but he was a former basketball player, you know, turned NFL player. He had jack of all trades. You know, he has that athleticism gene. So these guys are going to give us fits, man. We got to be ready for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think this game, going up against the Saints inside the Dome, is this a good time to be facing them as well? Because we are coming off a bye week, and plus we're not going against them until Monday night. So really they have extra time to rest up, and you know, a couple people went on vacation. Steve Smith went on vacation. Marlon Brown went on vacation. Is it a good time to meet this kind of team where you're able to get the guys that are just coming into the secondary, get them acclimated to the system, to get guys well rested, maybe rest up some injuries? Do you think it's better to meet them now, or would we have had better luck against them, you know, early on in the season?
Brandon, I'm going to answer that with a question. What better time than now?
I like
what
that.
What better time than now? We got to, man. We got to. It's 6-4. This team has got to win. I mean, I've stressed must wins in the season before. Like I've already said, in a Pittsburgh game, we got to win. Okay, you know, or this game, we got to win. The Titans game, I knew was a must win. This game, I mean, every game, yeah, they got to win. Winning out would be nuts. Winning out would be, you know, 12-4 record. Losing one game is 11-5. That's still strong. I say no more than two losses. 10-6 is going to get it done. I see those losses. If they can get away with this with a win, maybe lose to only Houston, that's 11-5 record, guys. It's not out of reach. But like going before, putting everything together, you know, we're not just going to play perfect for all this football and Jacoby Jones returning it everywhere and Jafaka throwing 4 touchdowns, 0 picks, and Justin Forsett have 100 yards and the defense being spectacular. Just play sound fundamental football and do your jobs. That's all we ask these guys to do every week. Now, we always request their best efforts. You know, some weeks it's more often than not, oh, we were shaking our heads and, oh, what was that? And, you know, come on, I can call better plays. And we get left second-guessing the team and what they decide to do in the middle of a game. But, you know, with all the flaws aside, we just have to believe in going in there. And I really think the Ravens are the better team, being well-rested and where the momentum swings are right now. Even my concerns from the defensive side of the ball versus Drew Brees' offense, it could be a good test for us. Because if we can come out there and we go, okay, Monday Night Football, the world's going to be watching. It's the last game of the week heading into would be Thanksgiving week starting off, because obviously we got the big Thanksgiving matchups and the holiday. So I think we can kick off the NFL weekend and kicking off Thanksgiving week on a Monday Night Football the way we really know how to. And I think it's going to bode well for us. And we're going to get ready for the Chargers come next Sunday. And I think it all sets up well. And even if you're looking ahead, not to look ahead of the Saints and dissect the Chargers, but even the Chargers are anemic. They played a horrible football game and barely beat the winless Raiders, and the Raiders could have beat them. I mean, it bodes well, and that's a home game. Ravens can come away Monday night here and a 7-4 record and come home and win, or you at least carry that momentum, and they have a chance to be 8-4. Here we go, man. We're right back in the thick of things. And here's what's great about the Monday night matchup. You ready, man?
Yeah.
We get to watch all the other teams beat up on each other, and we get to see where we stand. Because the matchups, let me see if kind of mismatched my tablet here, man. Did you take it from me? Because I'm trying to – here we go. Here we go. See, I got to be more prepared today. I was actually charging it, believe it or not. I was on low battery. But if I'm going to – you know, what, for the sake of the discussion, I'm going to pull up the matchups this Sunday. We'll go over those. I mean, the AFC North. It technically, if the Steelers would have lost in the Bengals, I mean, we had everybody to lose, but if everybody would have lost, we could have been in first place. We went from last to first in 1 week. We didn't even play. That's how incredible this division really is, man. We're separated by half a point, half a winning percentage, man. From 600 winning percent, 650. It's anybody's ball game. But just going over the matchup this weekend, let's see what we got here. Cleveland's got Atlanta. Atlanta in Atlanta. That match could go either way. Cincinnati plays Houston. Houston, I can see them beating Cincinnati. Houston's defense is pretty well sound. They've been beating up on some teams as of late. And the good old Steelers, I think, have a bye week, but let me confirm that. Yes, the good old Pittsburgh Steelers are on a bye week. So with the Steelers sitting at 7-4 right now, Cleveland 6-4. Okay, let's say if Cleveland loses, they're 6-5. The Bengals lose, and they're 6-4-1. We're right there. We win. Us and Pittsburgh are right there tied in first place. And the rest of the teams, it flip-flops. And then with us splitting with Pittsburgh, right now, it's an arms race at this point. So that's how that's how, guys, how the AFC North could shape up come this Monday night. So we can even get that much more excited because we can know, hey, we could be playing for first place in the AFC North on Monday Night Football. How's that sound? I mean, or, you know, just take care of our business. That, again, like Suggs even was, you know, questioned about it. You know, you kind of, you don't, this team hasn't put themselves in a position where they need the scoreboard watch right now. They need to take care of the business. But he even said, They've caught themselves peeking a little bit to see what the other team's doing because this division's so close. They kind of need to know what their business is, but it's great to see all these teams play and then go, okay, you know, let's say the Steelers are on a bye week. They're idle. All right, team, they huddled up and the Bengals and Browns lost. Here we go. Prime opportunity to show them. Let's get right back in the arms race here in the AFC North and let's take this division from Cincinnati. That's something a little bit more to get built off of. So, again, you know Harv's going to get this team ready. I know this team's going to get ready for Monday Football. Fired up as usual, and it's the Saints matchup, man. I mean, this isn't the Ravens and Jacksonville Monday Night Football game of years back. This is Ravens Saints. This is it's gonna be a good game, man. It's good billing for Monday Football, ESPN. I really can't wait for it, man. And I'm excited that we get another prime time, one more matchup, and I'm gonna be revved up all day on Monday. So it all comes down to Monday night, man. It's gonna be a great matchup.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So going back to what I was saying earlier in the show. Since I said the biggest problem is the offensive line not being able to block for Joe Flacco, how does this offensive line compare to what they're going to be up against with the Saints? Is this a defense that will give them some trouble, or will they be able to keep Joe on his feet for, you know, more than 2-3 seconds?
I'm going to respect the Saints a little bit better than that. I know that's Rob Ryan's defense. But the Saints defense, I wouldn't say as far as sucking this year, but they've been pretty bad. I'm not too concerned about the Saints defense at this point in the season. I think it's going to be a track meet. Not to say a big shootout and it's going to be 30-27, who knows. But I think the Ravens have to have the offensive firepower to keep up with the Saints. I think our defense is going to hold. Let's say I hope. I hate to use the word hope, but really, I hope they keep that mantra. They bend a little bit, but they don't break. They've been great. They've been having some great. They're the top three against the run. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 19 games straight. Hopefully, that continues to 20. I see that happening. You know, Mark Ingram being in there. He's a big bruiser, but I think they can stop him. They have what it takes. And I just see a lot of great things coming up and a lot of positive things to hold on to. I haven't seen really much negative, especially how the revamped secondary performed against Tennessee. And like I said, I don't worry about records and team and the Titans were a 2-loss team. I don't care. I mean, you look at this. Tampa Bay has 2 wins. One of them was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Enough being said. You know, the Panthers have a handful of wins and, you know, they ended up tied with the Bengals. They could have won that game or they could have lost that game. It could have gone either way. So, again, I have nothing to be concerned about going into it. I mean, I'm not overly confident, but I'm thinking enough confidence what I've seen for 1 week and a bye week to go, okay, well, if we do this, we're going to hold our own. We'll be all right. But if we don't do this, it's going to be a long Monday night, man.
Yeah, so let's start wrapping up the show here. I want to bring this up to you. Our buddy Glenn Clark, he started up his own radio show at glennclarkradio.com this past Monday. Congrats to him on that. He had Derek Mason on. Derek Mason talked about now is the time for Torrey Smith to pick up the slack, and fans should be concerned about Steve Smith Sr., given the fact that Steve Smith is an older guy and this is a grueling season and it takes a lot out of you. Are you worried that as we get into the final 6 or so games of the regular season, will Steve Smith be able to play like he did up against Carolina in that fourth week, or do you see him possibly kind of not slacking off, but having that schedule and the physicality of this game get to him?
You know, that brings an interesting point because a lot of thoughts and fingers have been pointing at that, being that Steve Smith was playing well for the first 4 games, and then once that Carolina game, he tapered off. I don't know if the intensity wasn't there. He was just had that chip on his shoulder until he played them at home, and then he's like, all right, I've seen what I can do, and then I don't really know. It could equate to the line not being able to block correctly and give Flacco enough time to get to him, because I know he's been targeting Steve a lot. So pretty much, you don't know if it equates to if the line gives Joe Flacco enough time to block, but it gives Joe Flacco's credit. He has targeted Steve, but that ball's been in Steve's breadbasket a few times. If you look at some games, there were some catchable balls, and it's really hard to gauge, especially me being there live. It's really hard to gauge effort So again, you know, TV's one thing. I'm really going to monitor that. That is a good point, but I can see that being a factor and a problem and a concern as well, all in one, because he hasn't had the type of production that we would hope to see, you know, carrying those first 4 weeks of the year. He was a stud, man.
Yeah, he's done good. I mean, look at what he did in the Tennessee Titans game. He body slammed a guy.
He was kind of physical.
Yeah, look at what he did in the Cincinnati game. I mean, he would have had the game winning touchdown if it wasn't for a bogus call, but. You know, I feel as if that he will be able to continue on the streak, but he is an older guy, so there is a chance of him possibly showing his age. But, hey, if he's listening to this right now and he wants to prove me wrong, have at it, man. Use this as motivation.
Right.
I think he's going to do well, and I think he's going to continue being a good asset to this offensive line. But yeah, absolutely. I think past week four, though, some of that fire may have gone away. So I mean, even in the bye week, he was still bringing up Carolina, letting him go. So you can see that still bothers him. But
use that to fuel, man.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I don't know. I can't really pinpoint that. And I would hate to pick out one player and go, "Oh, his play's tapered off." But you really don't know. And you're right. If it's still bothering you that much, go out and play like it. Go out and play. Okay, I'm going to tear this team, and we're going to carry to the playoffs. And hey, we'll see you in the Super Bowl, and I'll show them. You know, take it and put it in the field. Don't sit there and pitter pout, and then make it a frustration and go out and body slam people and get penalties. And I know Steve better than that. I don't know him personally, but I would think that, yeah, that fire has always been there his whole career. He's been always getting in fights and really getting it physical. I love that. But take it to positive energy and don't, you know, negatively impact. He hasn't yet. And I don't want that to start turning itself into an ugly head there. Now he's starting fights and he's getting scrappy and he's frustrated. No. Go out there and put in your 100 in a touchdown game. And really, then when it calls for it, get physical. Get into that defense's face and go, you know what? You can't play. You know, like I loved how he was talking about the Tennessee coaches and all that. And, you know, you got coaching buys off. They're sissies. And all. I mean, I love that. We need that on the Ravens. You know, I hate being soft. I hate being known as a soft team. I know Anquan Boldin brought that a few years back. Now, when he played for us, that tough as nails physical play like a Raven on offense, because the defense is all about that. And I really hope, speaking of that, I really hope the defense still lays the wood like they were against the Titans, because they were blasting them. And blasting them they were, man. So I really hope that it all bodes well and just bring that intensity out come Monday Night Football. And I think they will, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel as if we've kind of covered the whole gambit here, the season, the game. Did we miss anything?
How about a prediction, man?
Oh, yeah, we did miss something. Look at that.
Ah, that's why we always go with Ludi for that, man.
All right, so what's your prediction for this game?
My prediction is that this is tough, man. You know what? I'm going to say... All right, I'm going to actually have the Ravens prove me wrong. I'm going to side with the Saints, and here's why. Hate to say that, fans. Obviously, can't pick the Ravens every week. I know this, but I see this as one of our two remaining losses, and I think this Ravens team could end up 10-6, and here's why. The Saints are going to be the most desperate team. They're at home. They don't want to lose 3 in a row at home. It's embarrassing for even us. I know how we feel when we lose at home, and I think that they're going to get the edge in that factor, and I think that that just puts them right over the edge. I mean, I think the Ravens come out max out intensity, but I think the Saints are going to come out, and I think it's going to be I'm going to say a 26-20 Saints win. I hope the Ravens prove me wrong, obviously, but say it put me on record as a 26-20 Saints win.
So you still think it's going to be somewhat close? It's not going to be a blowout? See,
no. And again, like I said, I think like what I said back before, reverting back to the show, the Ravens have to match the intensity on offense and have to match those points and make every possession count, because if this defense bends, and doesn't break, but they give enough, pretty soon it could be a 2-touchdown game, and then, okay, now we got to start winging the ball 50 times, and then the game's going to get way out of hand. The Ravens are like that. They keep the game close. They always do the game plan. If it gets out of hand, if they get down by 10, 12, 14 points, it's QBX just lets Flacco just throw it the whole time, and then force it's not the thought. And then we could be running the ball well. Force it could have 80 yards and a touchdown, and nope, we're going to throw it 20 more times in a row before we run it because we're behind. And then Flacco's running for his life. He's more susceptible to throw to picks because the more passes you have, the more picks you can throw. It's all a numbers game. It just gets crazy, man. So you just got to keep it simple. But, yeah, I do think that it's going to be a close one. These Saints games always are with us, and the last two times we played them, it's been tough. And we went down there and beat them. You know, again, it was 8 years ago. Way different totally team. Way different era, way different team now. And it wasn't even like a hardball era. it was McNair and Billick, and it was a 13-3 record, lost playoffs. That being said, 26-20 Saints really hit the Ravens pretty wrong, and I really can't wait to watch.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Ravens prove you wrong as well. Hopefully they know this field a little better than a few teams, and I'm hoping to see an offensive show by both sides. I want to see what Drew Brees can do. I want to see Joe Flacco match him and have those two guys, you know, battle it out and see who's the better quarterback. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I think the defense hopefully will be able to get everything done. But like I said, this whole show, my big worry is the offensive line. So keep Joe on his feet, and I think the Ravens could come away with a win if Joe is still on his feet for the majority of this game. So really, that's what is my biggest worry going out of this bye week. And I also hope coming out of a bye week, these guys aren't too well rested. I hope that they can work and do their job for this night. And I hope that the extra long break doesn't do too much bad stuff for them, you know, have guys get lazy. And I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Right, you're reading my mind on that, man. You took my point from me. We're on the same page there. And I was going to say, yeah, hopefully that with this rest, they don't come out flat. The Ravens are historically well after a bye. They always win after a bye, especially on their Harbaugh. It's happened many times. And the Ravens usually do well. They come out and take care of business, especially when they're well-rested. But you just hope that they just don't come out flat and get overly hyped and go, oh, we got this. And then, before you know it, it's 14-0. They're up two touchdowns. And then it all the wheels are starting to fall off. So, yeah, just don't hope this team comes out flat and they come up fired up.
Yeah. So, all right. So, this time around, did we miss anything?
I'm going to say – with all the Royal Farms famous chicken in the world, not a chance.
All right. Well, before we wrap things up here this show, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Pretty much it for this bye week. Going into New Orleans this coming Monday. That's pretty much it for this show. If you want to continue the conversation, you know where to reach us. Find me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Josh is on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
They can always find me at ItalianGQ52. And Brandon, believe it or not, aren't we on a bye week too? After this week?
That is true, yeah. With the holidays coming up, next week there won't be a show due to Thanksgiving, but we will be back the following week. So
we'll cover the Chargers game as well and break down this matchup.
So yeah, so no need to worry, but if you still want to follow along with us, I know Josh and I will both be tweeting during the game, and we'll probably be tweeting throughout Thanksgiving week talking about different Ravens facts and that kind of stuff. So make sure you come to the Twitter accounts because we're not going far, so don't worry about that. We just won't be doing a show during next week. So the podcast will be back first week of December. So just remember that, guys. If you want more information about The Call or Brando Cash Entertainment, go to BrandoCash.com. We are also on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash or Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You'll get information whenever new episode comes out. You'll be the first to know, so definitely check it out. We are free. We do the show for free. You guys download it for free, which is even cooler. Can't get much free anymore in this world, but we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Best way you guys can help us out, our numbers have been amazing this year. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. Let people know that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan and that you listen to The Call, and everybody else in the the world should as well. So be social with the show and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. I mean, even if it's an old snail mail or email or a text message, or even if you're just hanging out with a friend, tell them that you listen to The Call. It's an awesome podcast, and they should check it out as well. That's what we want. Hey, holidays are coming up. You guys don't have to go out on Black Friday and get us anything. As a Christmas gift, just tell people about The Call. That's all we're asking, okay? So that's pretty much it for the show this week. We got the Saints coming up next Monday. Josh, you know, like we said, it's been a bye week. It's an extra long week without Ravens football. But keep us going, man. Keep us ready. Get us ready for this Saints game.
You got it, Brandon. Thank you very much for that. And I will make this an extra long sign-off here. And because why, we're on a bye week. But it is Thanksgiving week, man. And with that coming up, Brandon, I want to extend my thanks to you. And I'm thankful for is you doing all you do and getting us ready and ready for the call every single week and editing. And I want to say a shout-out thanks to you, man, for keeping the podcast going strong.
Oh, well, thank you so much, man. And right back at you, I'm very thankful that that I met you on a whim at a Ray Lewis signing and that we become close friends. And I'm glad.
Thanks to Ray Lewis. Thanks to WNST out there for putting that together.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go. And then with that, all that, you know how it goes. You know, we always like to thank God and our families. And, and we always give thanks to the late Art for bringing the franchise here. Because without Art, none of this would be possible, as Ray Lewis always stated. And, always give a shout-out to the thanks to late Art Modell and the whole Ravens organization for giving us, some excitement week in and week out to cover. We love this team to death, win or lose. Or draw. There's up as a draw. So, yeah, with that being said, and we thank to Baltimore Sports Report out there for allowing us to have a home on their site and giving us a home and a new partnership. And shout-out to those guys. Those guys, they do great stuff over there. I really appreciate what they do. And a shout-out to all of our downloaders and listeners. I want to say thank you very much on behalf of me and Brandon for you guys supporting us and listening to us and putting up with our shenanigans for every week and bringing what we do as Ravens passionate football. You know, we sometimes can get crazy here and wound up, but we keep it real and we keep it fresh on the call. And we tell you how it is. And we just love covering the team and love what we do. And wouldn't be possible without you guys going out there and getting the show and sharing it by word of mouth and telling everybody about the show. So we really appreciate that. And then, with the whole iTunes and Stitcher Radio getting us up and running, we appreciate their partnership as well. So, and with that being said, I know that was an extra long Grammy thank you. But with that being said, the business end is now. The time is now. Monday Night Football, the last primetime game of the year. What a better time as it comes for a holiday week. Let's kick off this week right, and let's show the New Orleans Saints, hey, we went down in your building and won a trophy, but we're going to win another important game. We're going to beat your Saints. We're going to tell New Orleans, you know what? We know how to party. We did it a few years ago. We're going to come back down and invade on Purple Friday. And we know it's going to be fun down in the French Quarter. Warmer Street's going to be lit up purple. Hey, we're invading this town this weekend because it's going to be Ravens night come Monday Night Football. Under the lights, bright lights, ESPN and all. I really can't wait to get after it, man. They always say is we've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, no better night than Monday Night Football. Prime time. And let's get it going. 1, 2, 3, Ravens. Let's fly high on Monday night and beat these Saints.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.